Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Results of the latest Iowa Farm Poll are out. What do the results say? Let's go in-depth with sociologist J. Gordon Arbuckle with the ISU Extension Service. So, Jay, what's the Iowa Farm and Rural Life Poll?
The Iowa Farm and Rural Life Poll is an annual survey of Iowa farmers that was actually established in 1982 by Paul Lasley, a distinguished rural sociologist here at Iowa State University. And it's a pretty amazing survey. We've been surveying the same farmers year after year, adding more as farmers retire or decide not to take the survey any longer. But it's been going on for over 30 years, and that makes it the longest running survey of its kind, certainly in the country and perhaps even in the world.
One of the things that you focused on this year was what farmers think about soil quality, right?
Yeah, or actually we use the term soil health primarily because there's kind of a movement afoot to talk about soil quality in kind of a new way. I think the terminology that the USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service uses is soil health, and the reason why they use the term health is because they're really including, in addition to your kind of traditional biophysical properties of soil, they've started to include the biological processes that occur in the soil. And so they're, the soil scientists and biologists and so forth that study this have started to call it soil health. And so there's been quite a bit of programming through the NRCS, through Extension, through other agencies that focus on agriculture and maintaining and improving the productivity of agriculture around the concept of soil health. And so what we wanted to do for the 2015 Iowa Farm and Rural Life Poll is kind of explore, since it is kind of a new concept, we wanted to explore farmer perspectives about it. Had they, been hearing about soil health? Is it a concept that's resonating with them? Do they perceive, there being benefits or limitations associated with soil health? And what do they know about it? And are they interested in more information? Things of that nature.
Well, I've read a little bit about it, and it seems like a lot of farmers are interested in soil health.
Absolutely. We found that, pretty much all of the farmers that we surveyed had heard a lot more about soil health in recent years. And most of them really, believe that a focus on soil health is really beneficial to agriculture and productivity in particular.
Well, I guess that's, an example of where words really matter, because I just always thought of it as soil quality. But soil quality, that's sort of a value judgment based on what you're doing with it. For one purpose, it might be high quality, but it could be absolutely unhealthy soil. Is that right?
I guess that's an interesting way of coming at it. Of course, I'm a sociologist and not a soil scientist, so I don't really know a lot of the details. But I know that historically, soil scientists have tended to focus on kind of the biophysical properties of soil that make it amenable to crop production or other purposes, as you suggest. And of course, Iowa has some of the best soils in the world for agriculture. But recently, I think the soil science community has begun to focus on, the soil quality, like the texture and the organic matter and so forth, is and whether or not it's compacted. These kind of properties of soil are very important for productivity, but they're really starting to discover that the biological processes are maybe just as important or more important over time. So it's pretty, the soil scientists and natural resource conservationists that I know that work with farmers and on soil health, and farmers that are actively managing for soil health really get excited about it. It's something that they really, you know, they feel a passion for. It's pretty neat to see.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about the latest Iowa farm poll results with sociologist J. Gordon Arbuckle. Well, I'm wondering, you know, in a longitudinal study like this that you and colleagues have been doing, what do people learn from it? How is this data used? I mean, is it to drive some educational efforts? Mm-hmm. Is it used, public policy, mm-hmm. legislation?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd say probably a little bit of all of the above. The direct objective of, say, a set of survey questions like the ones that we included in the 2015 farm poll was to kind of inform programming programming for engaging farmers and landowners by the Natural Resources Conservation Service and, say, the Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship, and also ISU Extension, of course. I worked with folks from the NRCS and some soil science people here at Iowa State to develop these questions, specifically because they were interested in knowing if this is a theme that farmers are interested in, if it's something that they in particular want to know more about, because if farmers are interested in learning more, then that can guide development of new programming and outreach to help them learn more. So I think the direct objective is to inform the ways that different agricultural stakeholders, whether they're public sector or private sector for that matter, ag retailers, kind of inform the ways that they engage with farmers on a daily, day-to-day basis, but also over a longer term, thinking about developing programs and education materials and that sort of thing.
Now, looking at this, let's just say I was a farmer. Looking at this, can they find value, something that they can learn from by looking at the results of your poll?
I think it's, probably the data that we collect through the poll is more to help guide extension and education and policy and that kind of thing. But what you find, of course, is that farmers love to know what other farmers think about the issues that they care about. And so certainly I think it's a topic, if it's a topic of interest to them, and then they see that other farmers are also interested in, that's something that they can get jazzed about. I think oftentimes, for example, I'm just looking at the information that I collected on. I asked a couple questions about landlords because I had spoken with some farmers that had, they were expressing a little bit of uncertainty about what landlords thought about soil health. We do have an awful lot of rented land here in Iowa. I think the statewide average is about 53-54%, but it's not distributed equally, in the more fertile areas of the state, say the kind of north central, northwest regions, upwards of 70% of the land is rented. What landlords think about the kinds of practices that farmers want to implement is pretty important and have a pretty strong influence. So, the farmers that I talked to, they wanted to know what other farmers thought about, landlord perspectives on soil health. And what we found was that most farmers don't really know what their landlords think about soil health and don't really know, they either disagree or are uncertain about whether or not landlords know how to manage for soil health, for example. And so I think that, that's kind of I don't know how it would impact farmer behavior or action, but at least, they'll know that, if they're uncertain about their landlords and soil health, then they'll know that there's a lot of other farmers kind of in the same boat. But my hope is that data like that will help people maybe think about starting the conversation with their landlords.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about the latest Iowa farm poll results with sociologist J. Gordon Arbuckle. Any other interesting aspects of the results of the poll this year that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, we did have a number of questions on conservation practice use, and you know, one of the things that Iowa State University Extension and the Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship and the Iowa Department of Natural Resources and private sector partners and the commodity groups like the Corn Growers and Farm Bureau and Soybean Association have been focused on pretty seriously in the last few years is the nutrient reduction strategy. So, you know, efforts to reduce the loss of nitrogen and phosphorus into waterways. And so in 2015, we put a number of questions in there. You know, the nutrient reduction strategy, which was established back in 2013, listed a whole lot of different conservation practices that are effective for reducing the loss of nitrogen from farm fields. And so we put some questions in there asking farmers over the last few years, have they increased, decreased, or you know, made no change in terms of some of those practices. And we did find some really pretty strong trends toward adoption of a number of those practices. For example, reduction of fall application of nitrogen fertilizer. The nutrient reduction strategy recommends that the nitrogen fertilizers be applied in most cases in the spring and if possible, you know, during the growing season. And what we found was that quite a number of farmers have increased their use of growing season application nitrogen fertilizer and decreased their use of fall application. So that's an example of, I think, an important finding that indicates that we are moving in the right direction in terms of nutrient reduction or nutrient loss reduction.
Well, and I presume there will be studies afterwards to see if that had any impact on crop yield.
Yeah, well, I don't know if we're doing on crop yield per se. Well, there are, there are a number of studies. A lot of work is going on to try to, you know, look at, so cover crops is, of course, one of the practices that is most effective at reducing nitrogen loss, but there is some evidence that certain kinds of cover crops can impact yields through various mechanisms. So there's a number of studies going on looking at the yield impacts, both positive and negative, of a number of different species of plants that can be used as cover crops. And certainly there's always, I mean, there's long-term studies that look at the impacts of different tillage strategies, conservation tillage, no-till, conventional till, and that sort of thing. So those are kind of ongoing, which, you know, certainly you can kind of look at our data and those kind of data together to get a bigger, fuller picture.
Well, just thinking, you know, the big picture of what you just told us, that has some major implications because it actually, you know, sort of backs up Governor Branstad's, you know, assertion that the voluntary nutrient reduction program will work. And so you're providing some evidence that the governor is right and Bill Northey is right. That's powerful, right?
Yeah, well, I think that the data that we collected in this survey, and we've got a couple of other surveys, one in particular that's in its second round, and we'll be reporting some results from it in the spring, or probably in June, I think, are pointing to some pretty substantial shifts in the way farmers are approaching, you know, nutrient management. And, you know, the hope is that will have, you know, a major impact on nutrient loss. So I think, you know, the evidence from the farm poll and from other sources as well point to that many farmers are taking the nutrient reduction goals, nutrient reduction strategy objectives very seriously. And so I think certainly, you know, the institutional commitment to water quality has never been higher as far as I'm concerned in Iowa. I've only been here since 2007, but it's, you know, remarkable the amount of, you know, dedication that, you know, you mentioned Secretary Northey. I mean, his dedication to making progress on water quality has been, you know, pretty tireless. And, you know, and the leadership of the Soybean Association, the corn growers and other commodity organizations has, you know, it's really a sea change since I got here in 2007. So I think certainly this is evidence that the voluntary nature of the approach can work. I mean, there's still, you know, I've noted in a press release not too long ago, and I think I know in the report, there's certainly a long way to go. The goals are set very high, but I would say that all evidence points to pretty substantial progress in a short period of time.
Thanks to J. Gordon Arbuckle for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.